Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Are you ready for the word? Yes. Amen. And we're going to talk about something that I had to learn kind of the hard way. So if I can teach you something that I had a hard time doing, and it took me years to get this over to myself, and that is, it is finished. When Jesus said those words, "It is finished," he meant exactly what he said. In other words, everything that the Father had given him to do, he done it. The complete work of salvation. No plan B, no backup plan, only one plan, and Jesus carried it out to perfection. And you say, well, Pastor Chuck, what's that got to do with me? Well, turn it with me to John chapter 19, and let's just look at this word, these three words that Jesus said. I want you to look at it. And you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I heard that before. I've heard that's the Easter resurrection story. I know it's what he said at the cross. Okay, yes, that is true, obviously, but let's bring it home to where we live. It means everything to me. It means everything to all those who are born again. It is finished. In other words, I don't have to work something up as far as healing is concerned in God's eyes. I don't have to beg God to do something for me. I don't have to go before the Father and say, Father, I just need healing. I need healing. I just beg you right now. I beg of you right now to send healing my way. Now, see, I was kind of in that rut years ago. I mean, when I first started, I'm talking about just, basically in the 90s, 80s, 90s, back when I didn't know a whole lot. I figured the more I would beg God, the more I would try to get God to move, that surely He would do something. He would see my tears. He would see my agony. And you know how it is. You start feeling sorry for yourself. And Lord, don't you see what I'm going through here? I need help. And well, He is merciful and He is graceful to that, especially as babes in Christ. And He was merciful to me. But there comes a point in time what we will have to understand that it is finished. And there comes a point in time where we'll have to appropriate what He has done at the cross. Other words, when it comes to healing, I don't have to try to convince God to do something. When it comes to prosperity, Lord, I need you to move in my finances. It's not working. I need you to do something special for me. Well, God has done the special thing. Now look at this verse. I want you everyone to look at it. Even though I already quoted it, but I want you to see it is written in the Bible. John 19, verse 30, it says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said," can you help me out? "It is finished." And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. Now, in my fine print, or my side notes, it says, the Greek tense indicates that the work of redemption has been completed once and for all, and it continues today. It is a continuing thing. It's not like, okay, it's finished and it ended. It is continual. It's in the tense of going and going. It's like that Energizer Bunny is going and going and going. What God had accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of salvation, it continues and it continues for us today. In other words, it's done. So what he has accomplished at the cross is for us today to tap in on. See, the Bible talks about, and I'm not going to get too, I can't get into this part of it as much. We are joint heirs with Christ because of his, we call, finished work. So since we're joint heirs with him, the work has been done. So that means, well, first of all, when I say inheritance, let me back this up a little bit. What is an inheritance? An inheritance is something you didn't work for. Well, Pastor Chuck, you don't know. I really worked hard. I give. I'm working hard. Hard, 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 hard. Well, hold on a minute. Your performance had nothing to do with what he did. He came and found you, hon. He found you when you were lost and lifted you up. He's the one. A lot of times we got that backwards, you know. Well, I found Lord. Well, he found you. Okay, let's just get that straight. It's grace and mercy. And chances are, 9 chances out of 10, you had someone praying for you in order for the Lord to work. Well, hey, amen. That's right. Hey, if you got, listen, God's into household salvations. He honors that. He wants you to speak those things forth, to call those things forth on this earth. It gives him legal. He can operate legally because you voiced it on this earth. In other words, you called it forth. He has to work legally. He can't force himself to do this and that. He's got to have someone to work through. That's the reason why, saints, we have to. I mean, there's so much to this gospel. It's opened up for us. We can intercede for those who are lost. We especially the ones that are in our household. I would have been lost if it weren't for my mom, big time. She was interceding for all of us boys. Now, I never was into drugs. I never was into alcohol. You know, like Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark was one wild guy. But I never got around that crowd. I would have if I had the opportunity, but where I was at, it just wasn't nothing there. You think I'm serious? There was nothing there, or I would have went for it. But I was in a place just where it was. I mean, I was in southern Pike County, which, you know, Pastor Mark was in the northern part, was the rich part. Yeah, the uppity-ups lived in Piersburg and area. And I lived down in the southern part, Standale. You know where Standale's at. And it was nothing to do there. So I was very limited how much sin I'd get into. And this is serious truth. When I was 19, 20 years, actually about 20, maybe 21, I don't know, I guess I was under the legal age. The legal age of drinking was 21. We were out camping, and I got a hold of a Bud Light. You want to know something? I thought I really had something big. I kid you not. You know what I said? It was really hot. And I grabbed hold of that Bud Light, so this is going to be the life. It's hot. Because I seen all those advertisements about Bud Light, you know. So I popped it, you know, I popped it, and I said to myself, I'm going to get good buzz. That's what I don't know. That's what they say, you know. That's the reason why you drink, right? I don't know. Get a buzz? So I thought, well, I'm going to get a buzz. So I popped that drink, and I started drinking it. And in about 2 seconds, I stopped. And I said to myself, how in the world can you drink this stuff? This has to be the most awful. This is not good. Of course, I didn't let the other guys know that. I had to be really cool. And very, very, very slick-like, I just sort of emptied it out. That was my taste of the wild side. That was about it. Now, the point is, I was just as lost as Pastor Mark. Even though I didn't do all those things that he did, I was just as lost as he was. But thank God for his grace. The Bible says, by grace you were saved. Amen. Come on. By grace. That word, by grace you were saved. That word saved means it's pretty much like salvation. The two words, saved and salvation. It means wholeness. It means deliverance. It means to be saved, delivered. So it's by grace you were saved. Now get this. It's through faith. Not of yourself. It's a gift from God. So grace came on the scene and saved me and saved Pastor Mark. We were both going in the wrong direction. But we had mothers who intercede. That's what I'm talking about. The door is open. Everything's open for us. God's waiting for us to intercede. And just because you don't see results, don't give up. Because listen, this is big. Because whenever we believe and we petition the Father, and if we don't see manifestation, there is a tendency, a part of the soul area wants to give up. Other words, just because you're not seeing a manifestation doesn't mean in the spirit realm arena things aren't happening. But we're physical beings right now. You know what I mean? We're touching and seeing. We live by our senses. That's the way we're designed to operate on this earth. To a point. But there's a point, there's a spiritual realm to this thing that we have to allow God to be who He is. That when we speak His word, that He is at work. And just because you don't see a manifestation doesn't mean nothing's happening. Things are happening in the spirit. And while a lot of times we allow unbelief to come in because we're not seeing what we want to see. And the Bible said, and that's what prevented Israel from entering into the promised land. Unbelief. In other words, God had a rest for them to enter in. A finished work for them to enter into. But unbelief came in. And it prevented them from entering in. And the same thing happens to us. We don't see what we want to see, and then unbelief will try to creep in. The enemy tries to, he'll whisper in your ear, it's not working, it's not working, it's worse. Now you're wasting your time. Don't allow that unbelief to creep in. You have an inheritance. And your family is a part of your inheritance. Don't allow the enemy to take anything that belongs to you. Don't allow any of the inheritance to be robbed from you. That inheritance is free. Salvation is free for you. It's free for your family. It is free. That's the reason why it's so important to witness. God opens up a door to you. Listen, that's what the power's for. To be a witness. God, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the main reason was to be a witness to God, to be a witness to His Word, to advance the kingdom. Amen. So don't allow unbelief to creep in. The Bible says we are to labor into His rest, right? There is a laboring. I know the finished work is finished, but there is a labor to enter into that rest. Initially, there is a labor. But once you get into that rest and you hold on to it, you hold fast to your confession of faith, that is the key. Because you read I'm kind of getting off script a little bit, but you read Hebrews chapter 4, actually 3 and 4, that Israel failed to enter into the promised land. And in verse 12, or actually, I don't know, I think verse 10 or 11, it says that we are to be diligent, or we are to labor to enter His rest. Then immediately after he said that, it talks about the Word of God. Why? Because the Word is the antidote for unbelief. It is the key to entering in and staying in the rest of God. It is the promises of God. It is His Word. And it says that Word is to be a two-mouth word. A two-mouth word or a two-mouth sword. Whenever you start speaking what God says, whenever you start speaking salvation, or you start speaking interceding, or let's just say you need healing for your body, and you're starting to doubt, that's when you need to increase your confession. Now, when I say increase, keep speaking it, because it is the antidote for unbelief. Whenever you feel things start to slip out of your hand, you're going to have to labor a little bit. You're going to have to be diligent. Keep the Word in your mouth continually, in your heart, in your mouth, in your heart, in your mouth. Well, saints, because we have an adversary who wants to take your inheritance. He will try to take it. Hallelujah. As he's good at it. He's been doing this for 6,000 years or close to it. He's a thief. He's a con artist. Amen. So it says it is finished. So if it's finished, then Pastor, what do we gotta do then? If it's finished, well, here's one thing we have to do. You will have to get into His Word and find out what is finished. Because I can say this all day. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. But what's finished? You have to appropriate everything that belongs to you. You have to itemize it. Healing's done. Well, I could say, well, healing's done, but where's the Scripture at? Well, I haven't found that yet. Well, hold it now. You haven't found it yet. See, 1 Peter 2:24, which is pretty common, but it's more than enough to get you healed. Amen. Come on. Because healing already belongs to us. So what we have to do is get ourselves in agreement with the promise. Because like in 2 Peter chapter 1, the provision is in the promise. It's in the seed. So I have to get the promise of healing in me in order for that healing to manifest through me. It starts with a seed. Amen. Now, there again, I know I can hear someone say this. I know that. I know that. Well, but do you have revelation of it? Revelation, or in other words, you can say this. Can you see it? Seeing in the Spirit is what's about. Revelation, seeing it with the inward man. Not with just a mental mind. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it helped me so much to know that it is done. I don't have to beg God to try to heal me. I don't have to try to convince God that because of my good works that He needs to heal me now. So that... Now, that it all has a place, good works. Bible says we are to maintain our good works. But what I'm trying to say is it's not based on good works. It's by grace. But grace alone won't do it. The other part of the equation is faith. It's through faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. So once you have the promise, once you have the word, let's just say 1 Peter 2:24. Once you have that word in you, abounding in you, you're speaking it so much, you're meditating in it so much, you don't even think that much about it anymore. It just comes a part of you. So, yeah, now you can expect, why not expect immediate manifestation? Well, that can't be. We don't want immediate manifestation. We need some patience here. Well, show me where Jesus did. He never did any healing and said, well, let's just wait a couple more days and now you get to let patience have its perfect work. Come on. The woman with the issue of blood. She went after it, man. Jesus didn't know anything about it. He's just walking. And she decided to say, you know what? I need some healing. So she presses through the crowd, she presses through the press and touches the hem of his garment and downloads power. So in other words, faith was working, and once she released her faith by touching, she had immediate manifestation. Jesus didn't turn around and say, whoa, that's a little too quick for you. You should have worked that out a little bit longer. You need a little more patience because you was elbowing your way through the crowd. We don't do that. You should have just, you need patience. That'd be silly. We already know the story. If you need healing, why not have immediate manifestation? I know it goes against the grain. I know. But listen, I'm not saying it comes every time. It's like the other day, I bumped my leg against the utility cart down here, Boonville. And I had a great big, I'm going to tell the story because we have a new crowd. I bumped my shin against a utility trailer and I hit it really hard. And so I kind of walked it off, you know, like us men do. I kind of walked it off and I got in my truck and I went on down the road. And I felt something against my pant leg. And I thought, well, that's kind of a strange feeling. And I reached down my pant leg, and it was a huge knot. I'm talking huge. Now, I've had them before. This was huge. I could cup my hand around it. It felt like a baseball. And my immediate thought was, this is not good. So, you know, I was driving, so I put my hand back on the steering wheel, and okay. And I was sort of thinking here, was it that big? So I stuck my hand back down there. It's that big. It's big. And then I thought, something's got to do something. And I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, as Lord is my witness, I had my hand was on it, and it felt like air was being, you know, it felt like air being let out of a balloon. It went instantly. Now, I give God the praise for that. I guarantee you, it wasn't because of great faith. I just acted on what He's already provided. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I was surprised. I wish I could stand up here and say, yes, 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 as I suspected. Lee, I laid my hands on myself. Now you all can do this too. But it takes many years of meditation. I was surprised. I was so surprised that I had to stick my hand back down again just to double check it. It's gone. It's gone. It really is gone. Then the next day, I was doing my normal thing. You get up and I thought, man, that really went down. That was big. That went down instantly. I felt it. So I raised up my pant leg. Oh, man, there's not even a bruise. And I'm telling you, folks, I bruise easy. I don't know how many times I take my shirt off. You know, my wife likes to see me with my shirt off. either you got it or you don't. So don't try that if you don't have it. But anyway, I took my shirt off. She goes, what did you do now? Where did that, because I'm always bruised up or nicked up or something, because it shows up in my body. And this, I guarantee you, should have been bruised, black, and purple, and everything else. There was absolutely no sign. I showed Joanne, I go, look at that. There is nothing. There is nothing there. Now here's the point. Even if I did not get an instant manifestation, the Word of God is still true. Whenever I laid my hands on my body in that location, far as I'm concerned, as soon as I did that, it is done. Why? Not based on my great performance, just because I acted in accordance with the Word. I got myself in agreement. I laid hands on myself. I didn't have Joanne there to help me. So I laid hands on myself and called forth healing in my body. Just like, John and who was that? Peter and John, who was going to the temple. Silver and gold I don't have, but I do have something I can give you. It's called the name of Jesus. And the guy instantly, healing manifest, a miracle manifested out of the name of Jesus. Saints, we all have it. It's not like we're trying to get something. We have it. Peter and John had it. They had it with them. It's called dunamis power. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter if you see instant manifestation or not, the Word is working. Recovery is on the way. You just got to keep unbelief from creeping in. Keep confessing. In other words, once I pray, I'm not going to pray again for that. If I don't see results, I'm not going to lay hands on myself again and say, be healed in Jesus' name. And another 5 minutes, be healed in Jesus' name. Well, sooner or later, I'm going to have to believe what I said. Sooner or later, I'm going to say, you know what? I believe it. In other words, I'm going to kick over into something else. In other words, I'm going to say, thank you, Father, for healing. I thank you, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. See, you got to switch over sooner or later. There has to be a reference point when you say, this is where I believe. This is where I make my stand. This, right here, at this such a day and time, this is where I make my stand of faith. I am healed. Amen. That's just getting in agreement with God's Word. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You get that? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Has blessed. He doesn't need to, it's not like we have to wait for Him to bless us once again. He has blessed us. Saints, that's the reason why we're going to take communion today. The communion table is a place of blessing. Is a place where you can release faith. It's a place where we can release our faith. We take the bread. Listen, I'll just tell you now, so get yourself, begin to see yourself right now, even before we take it. The price for your healing's already been done. We're taking that bread as an act of faith. If I need healing in my body, I'm going to release my faith when I take that bread, that healing power will be released. Why? Because healing's already been released. You're just now receiving it. It was released. Actually, this kind of tilts my mind a little bit. But this says the Bible says that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. So provision for your healing was made before the foundations of the world. God had you in mind before you even came on the scene. Whatever you need, provision has been made. It's done. Only thing we have to do is get in a position to what? To receive that provision. Well, Pastor Chuck, that sounds just too easy. Can you make it a little harder for us? The thing is, to receive, it just takes simple faith. Faith. Do you believe? And the good thing about communion is it's you get to take the bread. It's a point of contact, or it's an act of faith. When you take the bread and you drink the juice, it's all an act of faith. It's a place to release your faith and to believe God for a complete restoration of your body. Well, I don't know. Well, see, a lot of times we have knowledge of things, but we have to get a revelation of things too. Knowledge in itself. Look at this. So we know that God has blessed us with everything, but look at this. In verse 7, let's just start with verse 17. God wants you to have revelation of what belongs to you. Now this, listen to this. Verse 17, Ephesians 1:17, it says, and Paul's praying this. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, that you may know the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, that you may know the exceeding greatness of His power. He wants you to know what belongs to you. But notice, He's coupling that with the wisdom, with insight, with wisdom and revelation. You got to get a revelation of what belongs to you. Amen. That comes by meditation. Amen. Just knowing a scripture, since you got to go deeper in that. Well, I know that scripture. That's like going into, you know, if I would, okay, that door right there, they would tell me, okay, Pastor Chuck, if you go through that door, there's a banquet, a huge banquet. It's about the size of a hall, about the size of a football field, big. And in there, you're going to find some pizza. Okay, you got my attention. I'm going to go through that door. But the room is huge. And if I don't, let's just say that room is huge and the light switch is not on. How am I going to find that pizza? In my case, God has given me supernatural ability that not too many people have. I could find a pizza. That'd be no big deal for me because I've been gifted for that. But in normal cases, I will have to turn on the light switch. Why? To illuminate the room. I have to have some light. Why? So I can move. so I can find, so that I can enjoy the fruit of pizza. And that's what he's talking about. He wants you to back us up. Let me say this again because it's very important. It says in verse 19, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. That word know means to see. God wants you to see, to know, and it also means to experience. He wants you to see the calling that's on your life. He wants you to experience the calling. He wants you to see the inheritance that's in the saints. He wants you to see it and to experience it. He wants you to see this dunamis power that raised Jesus from the dead. He wants you to experience it. It's just not knowing about something. Well, yeah, I know about it. What's the fun in that? I want to experience it. I want to experience it. I want to see it with my own eyes. I want to walk up to it and feel. I want to experience what God has for me. That's what he's talking about, saints. We got to have a hunger to meditate in his word and get it so ingrained in you that you start to experience it. Saints, we were designed to do that way. Adam, before he fell, well, actually, you could say this. Jesus demonstrated to us what Adam should have been doing. Jesus was dominated by the spirit man. He wasn't dominated by the flesh. If we'll allow the inward man to be dominant, and the only way to allow the inward man to be dominant is to feed him, to renew the mind, to stay in the Word, meditating in the Word. To meditate in it so much that let's just say provision. Let's say you need money, whatever the case. God has already provided for you. Well, not money, surely not. God doesn't have any problems with money. God's not strapped. The riches of glory in Christ Jesus, provision has been made for you to walk in your calling. He's already provided everything you need for your calling. He's given you the measure of faith for your calling. Well, God, you just sent me something. No, he said he sent faith. He sent his promise. Provision's in his word. It's all here. God doesn't, you're not a special case. I used to thought I was a special case. God had to do something special for me. No, he wanted me to get in his word and find out through meditation what actually belongs to me. The inheritance belongs to us. So we come to the point where we can know it. It says our eyes will be enlightened if we stick with it. He wants our eyes to be lit up. Spiritual eyes to see it and to experience it. In other words, to bring into manifestation. If it don't come into manifestation, what's the point? Isn't that the point? I mean, if nothing comes into manifestation, we must, what's the point? But Jesus said, you believe that you receive and you will have. So whenever you get to the point, I believe that I received. See, that's spirit. That's because you know something. You're not going by what you feel. You're not going by the testimony of your body. You know from down here, I believe that I received. I got it. Now you're going to have to walk it out. Now see, that's what this is about. These first three chapters in Ephesians really talks about what Christ has done for you. You read the first three chapters in Ephesians, you're not doing anything, basically. Jesus did it for you. He raised you up. He seated you in heavenly places. He did the work for you. We get the fruit of it. Amen. Then in chapters 4 and 5, you get to walk it out. But you're walking from a rested position, a place of rest. Then in chapter 6, you get to fight. Bible says, having done all, stand. Stand therefore. What do you mean stand? Stand. You're standing with the armor of God. You're standing. The Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Man, we got an adversary that we're facing. But you got the whole armor of God on. You know who you are in Christ Jesus by the first three chapters. So you can divide this. I heard Derek Prince. I believe it was Derek Prince. He said you can divide Ephesians in three sections. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is rest. You're in a seated position. Chapters 5 and 6, you walk it out. But you're walking from a rested position. If you don't get this rest, who you are in Christ Jesus, you will have a very difficult time walking it out because you will become frustrated. But if you rest in what He's done for you, you'll walk it out because everything goes back to who you are in Him. And then when you come to the fight, chapter 6, it says, having done all, stand. You can stand because you've been resting in Christ Jesus. You know exactly who you are. See, you know, you got to remember, and I don't have, I'm just, that is a brief highlight. But in chapter 6, you got to remember that you're standing, what is he standing on? He is standing on victory ground. When it talks about that soldier, you and me, with the full armor of God on, we are standing on victory ground. You can say this, you're standing on your inheritance. Whatever you claim, you're standing, you're making a claim to the inheritance of God that He has for you. See, this correlates with Joshua a lot. In other words, we stand with the armor of God on, we're saying, I'm not going to be moved. I got my shoes on, and those Roman shoes had spikes, man. They had cleats, like, I don't know, like, I think one, Rick Renner said they're about like an inch, I don't know what it was. It unbelievable. Those spikes were killer spikes, killer shoes. In other words, you could stand your ground. You're not going to allow the adversary to blow you off your ground, what God has promised you, because you're standing for truth. You're claiming healing. You're claiming deliverance. You're claiming, hey, listen, oppression should be nowhere around us. Why? Because we got the armor of God on. It's already been done. We just put it on. So when we take communion, just remember this. You're in Christ Jesus. You're in Him. You've been raised up with Him. Saints, you have an inheritance. He's done it all for you. Amen. All we have to do is come and partake of what He's already given to us. Is there a fight? Yeah, there's a fight. Bible says to hold fast. To what? Your confession of faith. That's going to be your fight. So if you need healing tonight, today, listen, why leave here the same way you came in? You got to ask yourself, okay, wait a minute. I came in sick, or I came in broke, or obviously finances it may take. I mean, God doesn't pour down coins from heaven, right? God is a spirit. He don't deal with $100 bills. But I'm telling you, He will grant. He told me this. He said this when I was making a petition. He said, I want you to transact in the name of Jesus. And I thought, well, okay, transact in the name of Jesus. He goes, I don't deal in the physical, but when you transact in the name, I will grant power to come out of the riches of glory for you. That's part of the inheritance. Well, I should have. What? He's going to release power. Well, what else is he going to release? He's not going to drop a bunch of $100 bills on you, but he will release power. He'll release wisdom. He'll release honor. Whatever you need, He'll release it. If it's asked in faith. It's all coming out of the riches of glory. It's not coming out of your special account. It's coming out of Jesus' account. Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's worthy. He was worthy. He received it all. Say all. And He made us heirs of it all. That's hard to, it's hard to grab at. I know it's hard to grasp it. Amen. So we need to expect a manifestation. We need to expect when we make a request to God that as soon as we ask, we believe, it's done. It's done. And you hold fast to your confession of faith. You hold fast by giving thanks. That's the big thing. You give thanks. Continue. Just give thanks. In other words, why are you giving thanks? Because you believe that you received. It's good as in the bank. Amen. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.